This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of hour number two. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Minuke in studio with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Just got some great feedback to our penalty kill segment. Want to hear from you? At Illegal Curve is the best way to do that. And our website, of course, with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Dave McCarthy. Dave is the Toronto Maple Leafs correspondent for NHL.com. Dave, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys. What's going on?
Our pleasure, Dave. Thanks again. Obviously brought you on. A lot of chit-chat going around the Toronto Maple Leafs as of late. And, you know, you look at the Atlantic Division standings, and it's pretty clear right now that the Maple Leafs are going to meet the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs. They're 4 points behind the Bruins, so it's still up in the air as to who is going to have home ice advantage, but the Bruins never seem to lose, so that might have a factor there. This year, if the Bruins have home ice advantage, why is this the year that the Maple Leafs can defeat them in the first round?
Well, that's an interesting question because that assumes that they can. And right now, I'm not very confident that that's going to be the case. I'll tell you, on paper, the Leafs should be a team that can beat the Bruins, especially with the injuries they're going through right now. And we'll see what type of personnel Boston has back by the time the playoffs arrive. But Pasternak's hurt, Miller's hurt, DeBrusque is hurt, Johansson is hurt. We'll get some of those guys back, but if you think about it, since last year, Leafs have gone out and acquired John Tavares, acquired Jake Muzzin, and the Bruins have gone out and picked up Charlie Coyle, Marcus Johansson. The personnel seems to favor the Leafs in terms of the upgrades to the team since last year's series. The issue is just for whatever reason, Boston plays a style that is really difficult to contend with. They just come at you in waves, and they never give up. Like, there's literally no lead that is safe with the Boston Bruins. So if the Leafs are going to beat Boston this year, they are going to need to significantly upgrade their level of play on a 60-minute basis because the Leafs just are not consistent enough right now. They'll take what's given to them if it's there to be taken, but if it's not, like the Islanders game last week or, you know, the Washington game a couple weeks ago, or frankly, even the Vancouver game the other night, they don't take it. They don't make something happen, and that's not going to work against Boston.
Dave, are you expecting Nazem Kadri to be back in the lineup tonight, or does it make more sense to get him back into the lineup when the Leafs are back at home?
Well, it's hard to say until we see the morning skate. He did practice on his regular line yesterday, so with that being the case, I would expect him to be back in. Like I said, we'll see for sure in a few minutes here. But I think if he's ready to go, they're going to get him in. As Mike Babcock always says, let's get going here, right? If you're ready, I'm putting you in. It doesn't make sense to get someone an extra day of rest here right now. He's missed a significant period of time, and they've missed him in the lineup because he affords the Leafs a real luxury. I think he's an underrated player for what he's been able to bring this year. Numbers haven't been what they were the last couple of years. But I think in an ideal world, once he gets going, it'll allow Babcock some flexibility in terms of what he does with his lineup. And that might involve being able to put William Nylander back up with Austin Matthews and shifting Kasperi Kapanen down to play alongside Kadri and Patrick Marleau and use that line as more of a shutdown line. And then, like I said, put Nylander and Matthews in a more favorable matchup. So it's important to get Nazem back in the lineup if he's ready to go. If he is, I think he'll play. And remember, guys, against Edmonton, he seems to have some good games in the past. He really seems to relish the opportunity to go up against McDavid, see if he gets that opportunity tonight if he plays.
Now, Dave, you mentioned Austin Matthews, and I know you're aware of know how much talk has surrounded Austin Matthews, no goals in his last five games, which to me is pretty ridiculous considering the season that he's had. But is there any reason to be concerned, or is this just a stretch where he hasn't been putting the puck in the net?
Yeah, I think that's certainly, I would say it's 80-20 that. It's 80%, it's just the stretch where, you know, you're going to go, it's a long season, not put it in the net. But to only have one two-goal game since December, and again, as you say, given the season that he's had, that's a little surprising. And I just haven't seen him command games the way that he did earlier in the year. And that, to me, is a bit of a concern because he's been playing down in the lineup too, right? Tavares, Marner, and Hyman have been playing against the other team's top line. So he's been facing easier competition. He should be, I think, commanding games a little bit more than he has of late. And he's another guy that, yeah, the numbers have been really good, but if the Leafs are going to have success, he's going to need to be a guy that forces the issue in the playoffs, not just take what's there to be taken. You look at other teams' top players. You look at the Marchands, the Pasternaks, the Bergerons on Boston. You look at Stamkos, Kucherov, guys that the Leafs are going to have to go through if they hope to go on a run in the Stanley Cup Finals. And they seem like they're commanding the game every game. So I'm not too concerned, but that's certainly not to say I don't think there's room for Austin to raise his game another level or two here.
You know, Dave, on Tuesday, Bruins forward Brad Marchand got a little attention when he tweeted $12 million AAV, better be, with respect to Mitch Marner, to which Leafs GM Kyle Dubas smiled and said, a master troll job. Brad Marchand, a few days later, said he was just joking. He was just trying to give the kid credit for having a great season. How were those comments taken in Toronto?
Well, I'll tell you my comments on it. That would have been a time for a no comment from Kyle Dubas, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think that made any sense whatsoever to even give that comment from Brad Marchand the slightest bit of oxygen. We all know what Brad Marchand is up to here, and he's not advocating on behalf of Mitch Marner. He's not trying to play Mitch Marner's agent. He could give a damn what Mitch Marner makes next year. He's trying to poke the bear and get in the heads of the Maple Leafs, and mission accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. He got the Maple Leafs general manager to respond to his BS on Twitter and the media. That, to me, made no sense. And it's something that's now going to be brought up again at playoff time. If things don't go the Leafs' way, if Marner doesn't get going, whatever it might be. To me, it seemed like the bully trying to get a rise out of someone, and he did. And now in Boston, they're killing themselves laughing, quite honestly. So to me, it didn't make a lot of sense to give that any oxygen whatsoever. Brad Marchand is a critter. He likes to stir the pot. But you know, it doesn't matter what you respond to him as long as you do respond. I think he's loving it. I don't think Kyle should have given it that much attention, put it that way.
Dave McCarthy, Toronto Maple Leafs correspondent for NHL.com, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Dave, Jake Muzzin was, you know, got all the headlines, was a big acquisition by the Leafs on their back end, really early on in the sort of trade deadline season. If you had to grade his play so far, what grade would you give him?
C? Yeah.
Pretty average?
Yeah. Honestly, he was good the first couple games, really seemed to make an impact, and since then, just, I don't know, the fit hasn't really quite been there. He's been okay, but just hasn't really been, I think, everything that Leaf fans were expecting. I will say, until Jake Gardner went out, the fit was kind of awkward because they tried it with Morgan Rielly initially. They had Morgan on the right, but they went away from that after two or three games because Mike Babcock didn't like Morgan Rielly on the right. And with Gardner in the lineup, that shifted Muzzin all the way down to the third pair and to put Travis Dermott on the right. And regardless, I mean, if you're going to go out and acquire a guy like Jake Muzzin, I don't think it was to put him on your third pair, and essentially what it represented was an upgrade on Igor Ozigonov and not an upgrade to your top pair, which I think was really a point, which is what they were really trying to do. So it didn't accomplish that. And then Gardner went out of the lineup, and Muzzin's been playing with Nikita Zaitsev for the last little while. And, you know, again, it's been okay, but just not I'm not even looking for dominating or dominant, but he hasn't been great. Just seems a bit of a step slow, I would say. and just that pairing hasn't really been the most reliable to me. So, you know, Babcock addressed this sort of late last week, and he acknowledged that hadn't gone quite as well as Muzzin was hoping. And he said, you know, at this point, just get out of your own mind. Just go out there and play. There's a reason we acquired you. We know that you're a good player. You know that you're a good player. Stop thinking about the fit or who you're playing with or the sit. Just go out there and play. So I think that's what Jake really has to try to get after again, because I think there's something there. I think he can be a real good presence on this team, but he needs to up his play a little bit for sure.
Dave, a couple of days ago, the Leafs re-signed, or I guess gave a contract extension to goaltender Garrett Sparks. How concerned are you with the goaltending situation going into the playoffs? If something happens to Freddie Anderson, obviously, God forbid that ever does happen, and hopefully he's healthy for the Leafs playoff run, but if they have to turn to Garrett Sparks, is that something that Mike Babcock and the Leafs should be concerned about?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams in that boat, though, right? I mean, if Connor Hellebuck goes down in Winnipeg, are you guys real confident in what Laurent Brossoit is going to bring to the table in the playoffs? I mean, maybe, maybe not, right? And I think the Leafs are in that same boat. Garrett's played pretty well at times in this regular season. He's also had times where he's let in some goals where you're like, oh, boy, you can't let that in. So I think that's just really the nature of the position. If Freddie goes down, it's going to significantly hurt their chances, the same way it would if you know, I would say Andre Vasilevsky in Tampa, although I'll be in
the movie,
they had a really good run there. You know, so maybe not to the same extent, but yeah, there's the short answer is there's a little bit of a concern, just because you don't know really what you're going to get from Garrett on a consistent enough basis right now. The sample size isn't great enough. He's shown flashes, but he hasn't shown it enough for me.
And most teams don't have the luxury of having a guy like Jaro Halak or UC Saros as their backup, right?
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't mention Nashville or Boston, because, you know, Halak really bailed Boston out for a good part of the early part of the regular season, where Tuukka was not at his best. And honestly, in Nashville, I think UC Saros is that type of guy that screams to be on that level of backup goaltenders who are sort of that next guy in line to earn a starting slot somewhere, whether it would be with Nashville or some other team. I like UC Saros. Every time I watch that guy, honestly, I feel like he gets a shutout. He's a really good goalie. So there's a couple teams, like you mentioned, that have that luxury. But there's not a ton. I mean, Calgary, they don't have a goalie right now, as far as I'm concerned. Vegas, if Marc-Andre Fleury goes down, problem time. In San Jose, if Martin Jones goes down, I mean, he hasn't even been playing that good. Problem time over there. So there's a lot of teams. Washington, you know, a lot of teams that have that issue right now.
You know, Dave, the NHL hasn't really shown a great willingness to change the playoff structure, but if the season ended right now, the Leafs would end up playing the second overall team in the NHL, being the fifth overall team in the NHL. Are folks in Toronto lamenting that, or are they just dealing with the reality of they have to play the team that's in front of them?
Well, I haven't talked to anybody on the team that's a real fan of the playoff format. I mean, I really haven't, because as you put it out, it makes no sense. You finish with potentially the fourth best record in the National Hockey League, and you play a team that's better than you in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm not a big fan of it either. I love the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5 situation from a number of years ago. I thought that was great, because, you know, not only did it give you an opportunity to sort of play someone different every year, but it I think, prolong the races down the stretch where there was still an opportunity for movement throughout the standings deeper into the season. Like, you know, you could move from 6th to 5th or whatever it might be, or 8th to 7th, 8th to 6th. And it gave a little bit more interest to the games late in the year. For the second year in a row here in Toronto, the Leafs pretty well know they're going to be facing the Boston Bruins just about since January. So that's not entirely entertaining to me. And then, you know, we have to spend a lot of time talking about the playoff matchup against the Boston Bruins and talking about that in February and early March. And, like, I don't know, that's a conversation for a month from now. So I'd like to see the playoff format change, but the league has shown no appetite to do so, and I'm not going to hold my breath because I don't think that's going to be on the docket anytime soon.
Dave, last question for you here. We got to ask you about Nick Petan, who was obviously traded from the Jets to the Leafs for Par Lindholm. He's got a goal in his first couple of games. What have you seen out of Nick Petan, albeit it's only been two games, though?
Yeah, he's got speed. He's tenacious on the puck. I think they're still trying to figure out what type of fit he should have, if he should be a regular. I mean, he's not a big guy, that's for sure. And so he fits in that regard with the Leafs because they do not have a lot of big guys. But he's got speed. He's the type of guy that I think could provide some cost certainty in terms of insurance for next year if they want to go ahead and re-sign him. I think they'll get him at a decent number. I think he's a guy that can play for sure. And gives them an NHL body at a reasonable number for next year. So I don't know if this year so much is the concern. It's more what he might be able to bring them next year. I think he was an upgrade on Par Lindholm, who just didn't really have much offensive ability whatsoever. So I think there's that. But, you know, I think it remains to be seen right now whether or not he's a guy that can nail down a permanent spot this year. I think more likely it's, like I said, a guy that can help fill a roster spot, provide some depth next year.
Dave McCarthy is the Toronto Maple Leafs correspondent for NHL.com. Dave, always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks, boys.
Take care, Dave.
Thanks
when
a lot,
we
Dave.
Come back, we discuss the Columbus Blue Jackets and their decision to healthy scratch goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky at this point in the season.
Officer Bobrovsky.
A bit of an interesting decision. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Considering the playoff fight for the Columbus Blue Jackets, this might be a tough one for Blue Jackets fans to swallow when you don't have access to a two-time Vezina Trophy winner. However, you know, you do have to give credit to the coaching staff of the Blue Jackets. They do have Sergei Bobrovsky and their goaltending circuit, you know, on a bit of a rotation, and they can recognize when he needs time to rest and work on his game. So that's exactly what John Tortorella opted to do with Bobrovsky. Rest, work on his game with Manny Legacy, get him charged up and ready for the final push.
That's TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger discussing the Blue Jackets' interesting decision to make Sergei Bobrovsky a healthy scratch ahead of their game in Pittsburgh that was back on Thursday night.
That worked out well.
The Blue Jackets lost that game 3-0. This is a team that's been in a bit of a tailspin since they made all those acquisitions at the trade deadline to try and load up for a run. This one is just bizarre to me. They're currently out of the playoffs. The Penguins are one of the teams they're chasing in the Metropolitan Division. And whatever you think of Sergei Bobrovsky, I think most people would say he's the best goaltender on their roster. And they choose to not even dress him as the backup, to completely healthy scratch him. Just a bizarre decision by John Tortorella in a year of sort of bizarre decisions as it relates to their goaltender.
Yeah, we know there's a lot of discord specifically between Bobrovsky and Tortorella. We don't know if there's any discord between teammates, but I imagine it hasn't been a great situation for the whole Blue Jackets team. And I agree with you. If you're going to start Jonas Korpisalo, which they did on Thursday night, and you know you're going to possibly get Keith Kincaid into some games here, then why not still have Bobrovsky as your backup? Now, Bobrovsky has played a lot of hockey. I mean, he's started the majority of the games for the Blue Jackets lately, and we talked about this when we were on after the trade deadline on the Monday. Mm-hmm. Getting Keith Kincaid is more for next year.
Sure.
I mean, Keith Kincaid is a guy, because you have the roster flexibility now after the trade deadline, you can have as many goalies as you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, most teams don't have more than one goalie.
As long as they're salary cap compliant.
Sure, most
right.
teams just have two goalies, like the Jets have Hellebuck and Brassois. The Predators have Pekka Rinne and UC Saros. But it's very curious to me because they were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him home.
The whole thing is just bizarre.
If anything, Drew, why wouldn't you do that towards the end of the season at home? And I think this begs the question in the playoffs, if the Blue Jackets do get in, because the Carolina Hurricanes could get that last wild card spot. But let's say that the
Montreal Canadiens,
yeah, the Habs
Penguins,
could get it.
There's three spots for four teams.
Exactly. They have two games in hand on Montreal.
Yes,
right.
They do.
So the Blue Jackets Blue Jackets, in theory, could play the Tampa Bay Lightning, or they're going to play a very good team. But the point is, going into the playoffs, what does this mean? Because if Sergei Bobrovsky struggles at all, you got to think that John Tortorella is going to go right to Jonas Korpisalo. I don't think there's any chance that Korpisalo is your game one starting goaltender, but I just don't think this lends well going into the playoffs, because we already know, guys, Bobrovsky and Panarin are most likely gone at the end of the season. I think we'd all be shocked if either of those guys are back. And if you want to go on a nice playoff run, that's why you acquired Matt Duchene. That's why you acquired Ryan Dzingel. That's why you didn't trade Artemi Panarin. I mean, don't you want to have a healthy relationship with your number one goaltender going into the playoffs?
It's a very odd decision. The Blue Jackets will look for redemption tonight when they face the Pittsburgh Penguins and try and move back move back into a wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. The Montreal Canadiens have also been struggling. They had a terrible road trip through California. They lost 8-2 last night.
Yeah, they ran into those powerhouse Ducks.
Yeah, to the powerhouse Ducks is right. When we come back, JP Vijay is going to join us for some more Jets talk. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the program starts now on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. That's the best way to reach us here in studio. And of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to be joined by TSN 1290 Winnipeg Jets analyst JP Vijay. JP, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Are you wide awake yet?
We are wide awake. Yes, yes, sir. You worked the late shift last night doing the post game with Kevin O, but we are up and early, bright and early this morning, and we are wide awake. Thank you. JP, obviously brought you on to talk about the Jets. I mean, and, you know, entering last night's contest against a Carolina Hurricanes team that had been playing some excellent hockey, I don't think anybody anticipated the Jets coming in there and absolutely blowing out the Hurricanes by that 8-1 margin. We saw for the second time now the Jets at a full contingent of forwards after Adam Lowry served his 2-game suspension. The Jets, you know, forward group, is that one of the most dangerous forward groups in the NHL entering the playoff stretch drive?
Well, I think it is. And when you get all those players rolling on all cylinders, kind of like you did last night, and I still think there's room to grow, I think that those guys are among the top two or three offensive teams in the NHL. You can compare them with the Tampa Bay Lightnings. They may not do it the same way, but a lot of the things they do are very elite and very exciting.
No, JP, we know Josh Morrissey's out of the lineup. We know Big Buff is out of the lineup. Morrissey, of course, is going to be out longer than Buff, we hope. But we don't hope that he's out longer. But, I mean, we hope Buff is back before Morrissey. But is what happened last night almost more important for the way that certain defensemen stepped up their game? And, you know, Ben Chiarot scored the Jets' third goal. But it's the way he played and the fact that Tyler Myers is playing more minutes and Sammy Niku is playing more minutes than he was earlier in the season. Is that what you're seeing? Some of the defensemen just step up their game in the absence of Josh Morrissey and Big Buff?
Well, any professional player wants to make sure that they get more minutes. When you get the opportunity to play more, you better be ready, because everyone wants to play 22, 23, 24, 25 plus minutes because they feel more in the game. And we've seen that quite often with a player like Tyler Myers. The more he plays, the more engaged he is, the more visible he is. And I thought last night he was up on the rush, joining the play all night long. And I thought defensively he was in great position. He was aggressive. To me, anytime a player augments his minutes, you know he's going to be excited to play because everyone wants to play more because the big kids don't want to get off the ice.
You know, JP, after the trade deadline, the Jets chose not to assign in a paper transaction Sammy Niku to the Manitoba Moose. We spoke to Coach Vincent after a Manitoba practice this week, and he said Sammy Niku is a Jet. Coach Maurice reiterated that yesterday. What does that do for Sammy Niku's confidence, his mentality, to know that he's a member of the Winnipeg Jets this season and for the playoffs?
Well, as a young player, it feels great to know that, you know, you're making the right strides and you're on the right track. What it does means he's not going down for this year, but that shows now the work begins because he's got to establish himself as a top 6-7 defenseman, because who knows what can happen next year, and we can see what can happen with injuries in the National Hockey League. The Winnipeg Jets have been a pretty healthy club for the most part, but all of a sudden the D-Cor takes a beating and you're down to going through your 7th, 8th, and 9th defenseman. So it's important to have lots of options. I think it's a great confidence boost for the young man, saying you're on the right track, but now the real work begins.
JP Vijay is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. JP, of course, is a Winnipeg Jets analyst here on TSN Radio 1290. JP, Kevin Hayes was one of the biggest trade deadline acquisitions in the league. So far, he seems like he's fitting in seamlessly between Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers. Why do you think that trio is having such great success together?
Well, now we're starting to see the chemistry of the trio. Last night was a great stepping stone, and ironically, before the game, each of those players talked about how they're getting more comfortable with each other. I think the speed of the two wingers allows Kevin Hayes to hold on to the puck and distribute at the right time to allow them to use their speed. And offensively in the zone, he can hold off a player with his reach and his size and strength to allow guys like Nikolai Ehlers or Kyle Connor to hit the hole or to get to the slot at the right time to put it on their stick. Guys like Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers aren't going to be able to go toe-to-toe with a 6'4" defenseman in the slot. So they got to dash in and out and work on timing and hitting seams. And that's exactly how Nikolai Ehlers got his goal off the one-timer. Kevin Hayes is able to hold on to it, use his body, his vision to make a perfect pass. And I think that's something that can continue to grow into the next 15 games here for the Winnipeg Jets. And the better that chemistry is among those three, the better that second trio does, the more dynamic the Winnipeg Jets can be.
JP, I wanted to ask you about Nathan Beaulieu. He's played 5 games now for the Jets since the trade deadline. He's playing on that top pair with Jacob Trouba. And we know that when Josh Morrissey comes back into the lineup, Morrissey will go back with Trouba on that top pair. But are you seeing enough out of him that when Morrissey comes back into the lineup, maybe he can still crack that top six, maybe play on that third pair with Tyler Myers? Obviously, you know, they've got Dmitry Kulikov as an option as well, but what have you seen out of Nathan Beaulieu, a guy who just didn't get the playing time in Buffalo?
Yeah, I liked what I've seen. He's been simple, he's been clean, and at times we haven't noticed him, which is almost the greatest compliment for a defenseman. That means he's not making mistakes, he's making the simple reads, and he's creating the first good pass that he sees, and he makes it hard. The concern I have is, will we have enough time to see if there's chemistry between him and Tyler Myers for the playoff stretch? We know that Kulikov and Myers have chemistry. They've played together. It's a good pairing. If everybody's back and healthy, and that's a big if, does Paul Maurice have time to sample or to see if that chemistry works? Right now, that chemistry is working with Jacob Trouba. When you change a player, is that chemistry the same for the D pairings? And that's very important because if you can have your healthy top six, I think it'll be hard for Nathan Beaulieu to get in. But, you know, Kulikov, we've seen him with a little more vigor in his game because I feel he's fighting for that sixth spot between him and Beaulieu right now, because that is a battle. And then that's a great internal thing. But right now, I'm not sure if the chemistry between Myers and Beaulieu will work. So we've seen good things, but a lot can happen in the last 14, 15 games.
You know, JP, for fortunate timing here in the studio, they just showed Patrick Laine's assist, when he took the puck from the Jets zone and brought it into the Carolina zone, passed it over, and Wheeler scored. You know, he's got 4 goals, 5 assists in his last 9 games. Points don't always tell how a player is doing. I think Patrick Laine seems to be doing a lot of the right things now in all 3 zones. What are you seeing from his game of late?
Well, I've seen him get out of his own head. Right, I felt he was blocked. I felt mentally he was unsure. He has never been through a stretch like he's seen. And now I feel he almost looks freer when he plays. I've seen him hard on the forecheck and finishing his check to create a turnover. I saw him yesterday in great defensive position in the neutral zone and in perfect place to create a turnover to counterattack and join the rush. I've seen him in the defensive zone, deep, close to the bottom of the circles, fire that puck off the boards and high and get it out of the zone. All things that we didn't see when he was blocked or frozen throughout the long scoring drought. I feel he's starting to free his mind. I think there's still another gear to free his mind to allow him to get a few more quality offensive zone opportunities with Scheifele and Wheeler. I feel sometimes he gets caught watching at not knowing exactly where to be with them, that the chemistry is not there, because Scheifele and Wheeler play a great two-man cycle, and Patrick Laine is trying to get to the net when he should actually be trying to get open somewhere in the slot or lower in the corner to support. Yesterday, a few times, I felt he was mesmerized by the play or the puck and not working on getting open, because if he can get open, those guys are going to get it to him.
JP, do you think Brian Little is starting to look more comfortable on the wing? We know that he's played on the wing before, but the majority of his career, and it's been a long career in the NHL, he's been a center, but does he look like a guy who's getting more comfortable in that role on that second line with Adam Lowry and Brandon Tanev?
Slowly, yeah, I think it is. It's too bad Adam Lowry was suspended for two and then sick for one. I felt yesterday Adam Lowry wasn't able to drive like he normally does, being sick and having the flu and all those things and missing two games. I felt that on occasion they got hemmed in a little bit in their zone, or they weren't quite as aggressive on the puck. I think the more that trio can play together and build that chemistry, that could be a very dangerous third line. What I like about it is it gives Paul Maurice options to have two centermen on the ice. So if it's a key faceoff, you have two natural centermen and they can go off either side now. And I think Brian Little had a 30-goal season playing on the wing. Give him another two, three, four games, and I think that line is really going to be an added arsenal to the Winnipeg Jets, because now we're talking, well, the top line is rolling. Well, now that second line is sort of getting going with offensive zone time. We know Adam Lowry and Brandon Tanev are going to be in the offensive zone. Well, you add the skill set of a consistent Brian Little to that, I think that could reinvigorate that line, because that's a line we haven't seen put the puck in the net in the last five, six, seven, eight games like we were seeing before. So I think if you get those, you know, three lines rolling, and you look at that fourth line last night, they were pretty darn good as well. Paul Maurice is going to have some great choices, and the Winnipeg Jets are going to be very dangerous.
JP, we didn't mention this earlier, but you're lucky that Dave M is a nice guy, because he's sitting where you were sitting last night. You left your Twitter open, but we can safely say that he quickly signed out of your Twitter, so nothing to worry about.
There's nothing exciting there, right? It's learning the ways to work, right? The new studio, you guys switch stuff on me.
JP Vigée is the Winnipeg Jets analyst here on TSN 1290. JP, thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem. Sounds good, guys. Talk soon.
Take care, JP. You've been waiting all morning for it. The time is nigh. It's time for our Saturday morning You Bet Your Jet Will Call You bonus play. If you texted You Bet and your phone number to 129090 this past week, we could be calling you right now. Stand by as we reach out to play You Bet Your Jet next on your radio home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Good morning. Welcome to TSN Radio 1290. Who's on the line with me?
This is Adam.
Adam, good morning. Congratulations. Earlier this week, you texted You Bet and your number to 129090, and we just drew your number from all those who have texted in so far. Where are you calling from in Winnipeg, Adam?
St. Vitale.
Adam in St. Vitale.
I feel like Drew is like Regis Philbin right now.
I'm excited for Adam. You should be excited for Adam, too.
I am pumped for Adam. Let's go.
All righty. Adam, just for being our qualifier, you've won a legendary 10-inch spicy pierogi pizza from Boston Pizza. For being our Saturday morning We'll Call You bonus qualifier. And if you need any help with that pierogi pizza, we're willing to volunteer with that as well. But now, Adam.
I'll be all right.
Do you think you're going to be all right? Okay.
Yeah.
But now we're going to give you a chance to win some great prizes and big cash. Here's how it works. Today on You Bet Your Jet, we're featuring a few Jets players who weren't selected by any You Bet Your Jet contestants earlier this week. You have the choice of choosing from Jacob Trouba, Andrew Kopp, or Jack Roslovic.
I have to go with Trouba because I'm a defenseman.
You're a defenseman. You go with your brand loyalty with Jacob Trouba. Very good.
That's right.
We're going to begin with a skill testing question. If you get it right.
This music is great.
If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to see the Jets and the Bruins this coming Thursday night and a Royal Sports gift card. So really, some great prizes on the line for you here, Adam. You get to see the Jets and the Bruins. Going to be an epic showdown on Thursday night as long as you get the trivia question correct. Here's the question. We asked Jacob Trouba, what was your favorite cartoon growing up? Was it Care Bears
or rocket power? What do you think Jacob said?
I figure since he's from the States, he's probably a softie with the Care Bears.
You think Care Bears? Let's find out what Jacob Trouba had to say. What was his favorite cartoon growing up?
Jacob Trouba here. What was my favorite cartoon growing up? Rocket Power.
Oh, Adam. No.
What is Rocket Power?
I've got to tell you, I've never heard of Rocket Power, to be perfectly honest. That is tough, buddy. I'm sorry, Adam.
Yeah, that hurts.
I thought Adam had that one.
I had thought Adam had that, too.
Because Care Bears was definitely one of my favorite cartoons growing up.
Well, you resemble a Care Bear, Ezzy. That's why you thought... You know,
he's more of a Teletubby.
Fair enough. He's also a Teletubby. Adam, very sorry. You still have the legendary spicy pierogi Boston pizza to enjoy. You know, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Enjoy that pizza. And remember, stay tuned Monday morning on The Big Show. We have another opportunity to win You Bet Your Jets. Thanks, Adam. Some big news out of the Colorado Avalanche earlier this week.
Good segue, Drew. I mean, like, I'm amped up for that contest. You're just, like, right into the next segment.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm heartbroken for Adam.
I just Googled Rocket Power.
So did I. I'm a little thrown off.
Like, I've never seen this before.
I've never heard of Rocket Power in my life. I mean, you know.
It's a Nickelodeon, I think, or Nick Animation.
There's also something to be said that, you know, it's been a long time since we watched cartoons, and Jacob Trouba probably has watched cartoons. He's a little younger than we are. He's probably watched cartoons more recently than we have. So maybe Care Bears was more of an 80s thing for us.
For you, Drew, the Flintstones was real life.
I was waiting for you to make a joke like that. Anyways, apparently Rocket Power, something to look up if you want to see the favorite cartoon that Jacob Trouba watched back in the day.
Four young friends share action and extreme sports in the animated town of Ocean Shores, California. Auto Rocket, his sister Reggie, and their pals Twister and Sam excel at just about every aggressive sport you can imagine.
Wow.
Aggressive sports.
That's Rocket Power.
All righty. Well, there you go. I mean, as somebody who is inundated with Paw Patrol on a, well, constant basis thanks to my young daughter, anything's better than Paw Patrol, let me tell you. You can look forward to this, Ezzy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, my daughter's only 9 months old, so she's not watching shows yet, but...
Yeah.
Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Peppa's not bad. Peppa's better than Paw Patrol, but let me tell you, it's an earworm, and it really gets into your ear very quickly. Anyways, congratulations to Adam. He wins that spicy pierogi Boston pizza, and stay tuned for Monday morning on The Big Show, the next chance to play You Bet Your Jet. As I mentioned, the Colorado Avalanche are going to be without Gabriel Landeskog for the next 4 to 6 weeks. The Avalanche in that dogfight for one of those final playoff spots in the Western Conference. They've fallen off the pace a little bit. They're now 4 points behind the Minnesota Wild, 5 points behind the Dallas Stars, and they still have the Arizona Coyotes ahead of them. Your opinion, is this going to be it for the Colorado Avalanche? Can they recover from the injury to Gabriel Landeskog and still make a run into the playoffs?
It's going to be very tough, right? Because you've got the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars who have been playing some better hockey as of late. And when you're talking about Landeskog, he's having a career year and he's your top left winger. And even though they've split up Landeskog, Mikko Rantanen, and Nathan MacKinnon on different lines, and it's worked out successfully for Bednar, he's had them back at times as well. But when you're losing Landeskog, it's just one of your best offensive players. Mm-hmm. So you've still got some good offensive players now, but it just means that other players are going to have to step up. And JT Compher is actually a guy that I think has had a very underrated year for the Avalanche, but now a guy like Compher is going to be dependent on more for offense, right? We saw Carl Soderberg. He's had success against the Jets, but he's a third-line player, so now you're going to need more offense from a guy like Soderberg, Alex Kerfoot, some of the more secondary scorers, right? So doesn't necessarily mean, Drew, that the Avalanche are completely done, because I believe they're only, 2 points out of it right now?
Four points out of it.
So they have
a game in hand on the Wild,
sure,
as well.
So, but it's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to have to go on a run. They're going to have to win 4 or 5 games in a row at some point here with, 16 or so games left. So it's not good timing, because he's going to miss the whole regular season, the rest of the regular season, and possibly the first round. So even if they do get in, they're not going to have Landeskog. But, you've got a big game this afternoon against the Buffalo Sabres, another team competing for the playoff lives. And the nice thing for the Avalanche is, even though they lost their last game on the road against Dallas, 4 straight coming up at home, and they've got the Anaheim Ducks and the New Jersey Devils to end a 4-game homestand. So their schedule is a little bit easier, but then after that homestand, they've got Minnesota and Dallas on the road, the two teams that they're competing with for that last West wildcard spot.
Well, there's something to be said, Dave, for maybe the nobody believes in us now momentum that you can get when you lose a player like that. Sometimes it can be go one of two ways. The guys use it as a rallying point and band together and go on a run, and sometimes they just use it as a woe is us and they begin more of a collapse. This Colorado team, remember, they beat the Jets those two games in the span of a week, and you thought they were going to start to make a run because they were playing better hockey. It certainly hasn't happened. The wheels, they take one step forward, two steps back in Colorado as of late.
No, and you can really see how much it's impacted them to have all those overtime or shootout losses. They've got 12. I mean, those are points that, if you win those games, you could be comfortably in a playoff spot. But they've got 12 shootout or overtime losses. I think that really hurts them. And I think, the loss to Landeskog obviously is gonna really hurt them. I mean, I would be inclined to say it's over rock for Colorado. I think probably Arizona, who has two games in hand on Minnesota, and they've been 8-2-0 in their last 10 games. They've really been riding. I think Arizona probably is more likely the team that keeps this run alive. But we've seen the way Minnesota and Dallas are both playing of late, that they look like I'm not saying they're going to lock it up, obviously, at this point, but they look like they've got it's their spots to lose, I would put.
This afternoon's game is as close to a must-win game as you're going to get against Buffalo. Right?
Sure.
Because last weekend you lost to the Ducks, and the Ducks are really playing the role of spoilers, and I like it. Because what else do the Ducks have to play for? They're not making the playoffs.
Maybe they should have played better earlier in the year.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, I mean, these guys have professional pride.
Sure.
So they still want to go out. Athletes, I don't care what anybody says, they want to win every single time.
Organizations tank, players don't tank.
Sure. So, I mean, the Ducks, and you don't know if you're going to get the number one spot. So you don't know if LA or Anaheim or Ottawa's, or not Ottawa. They don't have that first round.
That'd be Colorado's.
But I mean, there's some bad teams that have a shot at it, right? The Devils and the Red Wings. That's why there's a lottery. But you look at the schedule, and again, I mentioned that they have a four-game homestand. I'm talking about Colorado here. Four-game homestand coming up with Anaheim and New Jersey to end it. And then they've got Minnesota and Dallas on the road. But then you've got a back-to-back, a home-and-home with Chicago. So, I mean, it's not the hardest schedule. You look at the teams that they're playing coming up. I mean, there isn't a great team. You've got teams that are competing for a playoff spot, but these are all teams that are either in a wild card spot or out of the playoffs when you're talking about Anaheim and New Jersey and Chicago, right? So,
yeah.
Strength of schedule is not the hardest schedule for Colorado.
No, I mean, and the Arizona Coyotes are a team with, as you mentioned, Dave, they have two games in hand on the Wild. They continue to play well despite being absolutely riddled with injuries all season long.
Unbelievable.
Rick Tocchet has done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He should be in one of the nominees for the Jack Adams Trophy.
I think he should be a nominee even if they don't make the playoffs.
Agreed. Oh, absolutely, for sure.
But that never happens.
What they've been able to do, considering their lineup, has been pretty remarkable.
Yeah, with all of the injuries,
that's
right?
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's just in spite of the way that things have gone for them health-wise, they've still managed to maintain their position.
Imagine if they had Nick Schmaltz right now, right?
That'd be a nice spread.
Very clever, Dave. It's going to be a fascinating race for those bottom spots in the Western Conference. You saw the Minnesota Wild go into Tampa, two nights ago and handle the Tampa Bay Lightning. You can't say that's happened very often this season. What happens the next night? They go into Florida on the second half of back-to-back, and they get shellacked by the Panthers by a 6-2 margin.
Any team can beat any team in the NHL. I don't care what anybody says. Ottawa beat the Jets twice, and they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah. There's no question about it. You're right. You never know what a team's momentum or motivation is going to be. And the Wild had it to beat the Lightning, and then they didn't have it to beat the Panthers. And that's why they're still right on the precipice of falling out of a playoff spot once the games in hand get caught up and everything else. The Jets, obviously, they leapfrog the Predators into top spot in the Central Division. The Predators have the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. They've had a lot of trouble with the Hurricanes as of late. I think I saw something like the Hurricanes are 8-2 against the Predators in their last 10 games, so it'll be an interesting battle tonight between the Preds and the Hurricanes, and then the Jets and the Capitals tomorrow night, a game you can hear live, of course, on TSN 12-9.
So as it stands now, the Jets would play the Wild in the first round, just like last year, so it's a pretty good matchup for the Jets.
Yeah, despite what their regular season record has been, I don't think it carries much stock into the playoffs. When we come back, we're going to talk some Manitoba Moose hockey. Moose head coach Pascal Vincent is going to join us, talk about what the AHL affiliate is doing as they try for the stretch drive of the playoffs in the AHL. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Saturday morning, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuke with you in studio. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, and of course our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to be joined now by Manitoba Moose head coach Pascal Vincent. Pascal, good morning and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, anytime.
Appreciate it, Pascal. Big homestand coming up for the Manitoba Moose. You have the Rockford Ice Hogs in town tonight, a team you are chasing for one of the final playoff spots in the Central Division. As we sit here, you know, early in the month of March, you know, we know that we're into the stretch drive. Every game matters more. Are you sensing the attitude in the dressing room is just getting a little bit more focused as everybody knows how crucial these games are for wanting to qualify for the postseason?
Well, we've been in that mode for quite a while now. When we went home for the Christmas break, we were last in the league, and we were playing good hockey, but we were having a hard time getting points, and for different reasons. We had a slow start, 14 new players, and a bunch of injuries, one after the other, which is not an excuse, but it's just a fact, and then and we started to get healthy, and then so we went at the Christmas break. We were last in the league, and when we came back from the Christmas break, we had a good chat with the players, and then we established a plan, and we put ourselves, our mindset has been a playoff mindset since the Christmas break. So we've been in that position for quite a few games now, and we've been responding really well as a team, and we take it one day at a time. The next six games, we hear a lot about it, but in the room and the way we think, it's we're going to take care of tonight and go from there.
Pascal, you've now got Mason Appleton back in the lineup. He played 36 games up with the Jets, and he was starting to really fit in nicely on that fourth line for Paul Maurice. And obviously, I imagine you're really happy to have Appleton back in the lineup. But how has he handled, going back to the Manitoba Moose? Obviously, he was up with the Jets for half the season. But I imagine, you know, he's taken it very well, and he's back ready to contribute and help the Moose get back into the playoff spot.
Yes, he was disappointed. Obviously, you're here to when you play for our team, your goal is to play with the big boys and the Jets. And he was disappointed, as he should be. And like I told him, I said, if you weren't, I'd be worrying about you. So he was, but he understands, and that's the most important part. He understands why and what he needs to do, and his attitude is perfect. The kid, Mason Appleton, has a strong belief in himself in a very good way. He knows now that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when he's going to get called back up, and he's doing it the right way. He came here, perfect attitude, working hard, doing the right things, fitting right in. He knows the players, he knows the team, he knows what we're looking for in him. So there was no change in his attitude. He's been a beast for us since he's back. He's one of our, if not our, hardest working player.
You know, Coach, oftentimes you talk about, you know, the importance of winning, but you also talk about the importance of development, and you talk about how the Manitoba Moose are a conduit to the Winnipeg Jets. How proud are you, even though you probably would have liked to have Sammy Niku back in the lineup, to see that he wasn't sent down even as a paper transaction, that the Jets, you know, you said it when we talked this week about how Sammy Niku is a Jet, and the Jets themselves talked about how Sammy Niku is a member of their team.
Well, that's why we exist, Dave. That's why we're here, to push players. When I signed my contract, Chevy and Zinger and Larry, they made it very clear to me, and they told me, Pazzi, you have to change your mindset. The NHL is win every day. You're going to the Manitoba Moose. You want to win, but in a different way. You want to push players to the Jets, and we understand that it's going to be a challenge at times, but your job, and I signed up for it, is to push players to the Jets, and I'm all in. That's what I'm getting paid for. So when you see something like this, Sammy Niku, that's amazing. And it's not only good for our team as an organization, but the players that we're going to draft in the future, the people that are going to join the organization, or the younger players. Like Logan Stanley, they see how we function, and it gives those guys an idea on how we work. If you deserve to get called up, you will called up. If you deserve to stay with the big boys, you will stay with the big boys. If not, you're going to come back down, and we're going to play you some more until you're ready again. And Sammy Niku went up, went back down, had a great season last year. Now he's ready. So good for him, good for us. That's great.
Pascal Vincent is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. You know Pascal, of course, as the head coach of the Manitoba Moose. And Pascal, in your previous answer, you mentioned Logan Stanley. And, you know, in the season of a little bit of upheaval on your blue line, Logan Stanley has been a stalwart on the back end, playing 55 of your team's 58 games so far this season. This is his first professional season as a defenseman, professional defenseman in professional hockey. How have you seen his game develop from the beginning of the year through today?
Well, you know, I've seen Logan Stanley playing since he's 17. So we drafted him. He came to our first development camp and then training camp, went to junior. So we had some kind of an idea on how he moves and how he reads the game. But you don't get to know him as much as we do this year. And last year he came to camp and we saw an improvement from the previous year. And this year I felt from day one, okay, this guy's ready to make the next step. And we could see it. His confidence, he's stronger. He makes quicker decisions. His stick is good. He has improved. He feels confident about playing at the pro level. And we could see it from day one. The improvement I've seen in the last 3 years from Logan is trending up, and it's consistently getting better, and he's been really good for us. So early in the season, he was learning the system, he was learning how fast, and trying to adjust his game to what it looks like at the pro level. And then we had a stretch in California, and we had quite a few injuries, and he was playing 27, 28, 30 minutes for quite a long stretch. And he was playing well. So it is the way he's improving and where he's going. I have no doubt in my mind that this guy will play for the Jets at some point and be a good player.
Pascal, Marco Dano is obviously a player that you're really familiar with, and he spent some time with the Colorado Avalanche organization. He's obviously back in the Jets Moose organization now. But just how important has it been to have a player with all of that NHL experience on the roster and helping this team trying to accomplish the goal of getting back into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, he's been huge. Marco has a great attitude. What he's been through is not easy. And not playing a whole lot, but he kept a good attitude. And that's why we wanted him back after the Colorado stint, because we know him. And we know what he could bring to our team. And his positive attitude is contagious. But we have multiple players like this. We have Marco, we have Shaw, we have Lepon that has been around, we have Griffith. We have a few older guys, Schilling. Those guys are Pullman. Pullman's attitude is amazing. Comrie. So we have a very good room. Our room is excellent. But adding a guy like Marco with NHL experience, he's had a taste at different organizations in Columbus and Chicago and us. And for him to keep the positive attitude that he has was important. And he brings a lot to the room, that's for sure.
You know, Coach, I've talked about Eric Comrie all season long. I think he's been probably the team MVP with how good he's been for you guys the entire season. But what's it been like having Mikael Burden? Are you happy you don't have any hair to lose when you watch him wandering out of the net and playing that puck like probably no goalie in this organization is able to do?
I'm not sure I've seen somebody playing the puck like he does since Marty Brodeur. And I played against Marty in junior. He was really good, but I don't think I've seen somebody as good as Burden at such a young age. And he's really confident. So we play a game in Laval, and he comes out of his net, plays the puck, turns the puck over. We get scored against. And I told him after the game, if it happens again, same scenario, I want you to do exactly what you just did, because He's gonna become extremely good, but I don't want him to lose that confidence that he can make those plays. And I mean, teams will have to adjust. He's that good. In Belleville, well, he was coming out of his net and breaking the puck out, even under pressure. And quite possible he's going to get hit at some point because he's getting there in the traffic. But he has that confidence, and he's working on it every single day. And that's a skill that he has, and we don't want to take it away. We might be facing some tough situations in the future as far as him playing the puck and maybe turning the puck over. But the confidence that he has and the way he plays the puck is hard to teach. It's something that he's really good at, and we're not going to take it away from him.
Pascal Vincent is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. The Moose and the Rockford Ice Hogs in action tonight, a game you can hear on this fine station. Puck drop 6 p.m. Pregame show starts at 5:45. Pascal, as I mentioned off the top, you're entering in the stretch drive of the season. From your perspective, if the Moose are going to qualify for the playoffs, and they're certainly right in the running there as they're chasing the Ice Hogs and the Texas Stars and the Milwaukee Admirals, what's going to be the tipping point that gets your team over the edge and be a playoff team in the Central Division this season?
Well, I think, and that's a conversation we had with the players this morning. We have to stay true to ourselves. There was a comment I've read from one of the Jets players after the Tampa Bay game, and they said, we're built to beat those guys, but we need to respect who we are as a team and respect our team identity. And I think they just did that last night against Carolina. You can see the result. I think we know who we are, and we need to respect that. If tonight we're trying to play the way Rockford is playing and trying to reinvent our game, we're not going to be successful. We know the type of game we need to play in order to be successful, and that's what we need to bring. So staying in the moment, bring your game, be the best player you can be on that day, and today is only what matters to us right now. Taking care of today and tomorrow, we'll make the adjustments that we need to make. But I think it's just I don't know if there's going to be a tipping point. I think it's just taking care and owning the day every single day, and then staying true to ourselves. We know what we need to do. And we know when we do what we need to do, we know that success will come.
Pascal, final question for you here. We wanted to ask you about Tucker Poolman. He's had a bit of a rough year. I think you'd agree with the concussion, and then he's dealt with an illness as well. But how do you think he's dealt with this season overall? Obviously, he signed the two-year deal in the offseason, and his ultimate goal is to play with the Jets. As you mentioned, the ultimate goal for a lot of Moose players is to eventually get playing time with the Jets. But how has Tucker dealt with it? Because he's been thrown a lot this year.
Well, I could tell you anything in a sense that Tucker Poolman was always a good person in the first place. But the way he's responded, I guess you have to experience Tucker Poolman. That's what I'm trying to say. The way we see him, the way he responds, his attitude, the way he helps his teammates, the way he comes to the rink, handle himself. He was sick the last week, pretty much the whole week, and he still managed to play and play heavy minutes. He's a quiet guy, very smart, and he knows his game. And his goal is obviously to get back to the Jets lineup, and he's doing everything that he can to get back there. And his attitude, like Mason Appleton coming back from the Jets, Marco Daniel, those guys, like I said before, we have a great room, and then the reason we have a great room is because of those guys. Their attitude it's perfect. So we asked a few things from our players: have a great and positive attitude, be a good teammate, and work as hard as you can, and we'll deal with the mistakes, but we won't deal with a bad or negative attitude or not trying your best. And Tucker Poolman brings everything that we're looking for in a player.
Pascal Vincent is the Manitoba Moose head coach. The Moose in action tonight against the Rockford Ice Hogs. Pascal, best of luck tonight. Best of luck the regular season. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Take care, Pascal.
Thanks,
when
coach.
We come back, one final segment on Saturday morning. We'll look at some of the playoff races. We'll talk a little bit about the Jets. We'll talk about potential for RFA contracts. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
I think the player that would be
more in play, according to a couple of GMs I talked to here this week, would be Kasperi Kapanen, because he's a secondary player, a very good one. But as one GM told me yesterday, if you come in and offer him $6 million a year, what are the Leafs going to do with that contract? Sick.
Pierre LeBrun, TSN Hockey Insider, talking about the possibility of an offer sheet. The reason I bring it up is some interesting comments.
How many times are we going to talk about potential offer
sheets?
We're
not talking about potential offer sheets. Players, we're talking about Mark Bergevin and his comments, the Montreal general manager, that the reason there aren't more offer sheets is because every team in the league has a chance at winning the draft lottery. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment Saturday morning. We're live on TSN Radio 1290, and this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, he's been absolutely killing it all week long. Graham Kay is in town. Tickets available, rumorscomedyclub.com. Remember, still to come in the month of March, John Doerr, and then coming up in May, a special concert series event with Jay Farrow of Saturday Night Live. So what do you think of Mark Bergevin's comment? So he's commented saying, if you offer sheet a guy and the team chooses not to match, you have to give up X number of first-round picks, depending on the level of the compensation. Mm-hmm. And what Mark Bergevin is saying, if I'm a middling team, I'm an average team, and I think I want to get this guy.
Like the Montreal Canadiens.
Like the Montreal Canadiens, who are going to draft, you know, depending on where they make the playoffs, or if they don't, they're going to draft somewhere in the teens. He's saying, I'm not going to potentially risk losing a first-round pick because I have a possibility, however minute it might be, that first-round pick will end up as the top pick if I win the draft lottery, as opposed to the previous format where they could only move up three spots. Yeah. So if you're Montreal and you win the lottery at 15th, you can only move up to 12th. You're more willing to maybe lose that spot, mm-hmm. lose that pick as an RFA compensation issue.
Yeah, but if you're going to sign a player to an offer sheet, you're willing to lose your first round pick regardless if it's high or not.
Right, but you're more concerned that it could end up being the top overall pick.
Jack Hughes all of a sudden as opposed to
12th overall, right. Whoever would be drafted
right.
at
so
that
I,
point.
I get what he's talking about. Then your strategy changes a little bit, but how many offer sheets have we seen? We didn't see offer sheets when you couldn't win the draft lottery as a lower level team, right?
That was the last time we saw one. Ryan O'Reilly, of course.
That was like 6 years ago.
Right. I mean, if you don't see offer sheets this offseason, given the teams that have salary right. cap issues and the, right. given the quality of player that's available.
And the fact that a lot of teams like Florida, for example, have cleared a lot of cap space in anticipation. That's now, right. that could be just anticipation of getting guys like Panarin and Bobrovsky. But,
fair enough.
You know, it could also put them into a position. I think there's only, what, one team? I think it's San Jose is the only team that can't do like an offer sheet of like a top player because they just don't have the first round picks.
Well, top teams in the league, and this is what Mark Bergevin said in there, the top teams in the league usually aren't in a position to offer
right.
sheet somebody because
cap.
They don't have the salary cap right. space. They have to re-sign their own players. They're the ones who are being offer sheeted. The Jets with Connor and Laine, the yeah. Leafs with Marner and Kapanen, the Lightning potentially with Braden Point. It was an interesting point, I thought, by Mark Bergevin that could, to some extent, explain yeah. why there's no offer sheets. I don't think it's the real reason, but it is another layer you can sort of add to the equation.
We know what the real reason is. Most teams are going to match.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see it. And I agree with you, though, Drew, with all of the RFAs, and we could go down the list. I mean, Mitch Marner, we talked about earlier, Mikko Rantanen, Sebastian Aho, Braden Point. If it doesn't happen this summer, it's probably not going to happen maybe ever.
But
right? And to Drew's point, when you're talking about, you know, the teams and how much cap space they have, it's going to be the teams that don't have the cap space that are at most risk. So when you're talking about the Carolina Hurricanes, they're not at risk because they have the most cap space in the entire league. Colorado yeah. has tons of cap space. So do the Jets. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't be at all concerned if I'm Chevy that Kyle Connor or Patrick Laine is going to be offer sheeted because the Jets have the cap space to match.
You know, the only thing I would say is that you're doing it to submarine the opposition. I mean, if you want to hurt the Leafs, what do? You force them to match. If you're forcing them to match, that's a problem.
Yeah. Anyway, it's something to keep an eye on in the summer. But we have a lot of hockey and playoff hockey before we get to that point in time. That's it for the Saturday morning edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. Big thank you to our guests, Manitoba Moose head coach Pascal Vincent, JP Vige, Dave McCarthy, Josh Smith, and Ben Raby, in case you missed any of the show. It's available for download on tsn1290.ca and on our website, illegalcurve.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Get it sent to your device automatically each and every week. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big props to our producer, James DeRoschuk, doing a great job behind the board. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.